1420 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Police say they've prevented a possible mass shooting at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, thanks to a tip from relatives of Billy Joe Cagle after they saw him during a live stream say that he was going to shoot it up. The Cartersville, Georgia man was arrested at the airport this morning, and a semi-automatic weapon and ammo were found in his truck. Cartersville Police Captain Greg Sparacio.
We were alerted by family members that Mr. Cagle was en route to somewhere in the Atlanta area. They weren't sure. Ultimately, we found out it was the Atlanta airport. And that he had the intention to inflict harm to as many people as he could.
Atlanta's mayor says that Cagle was having a mental health crisis. Cagle faces multiple charges, including making terroristic threats. An appeals court says President Trump can deploy the National Guard to Portland, Oregon. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
We have a pattern now of a number of circuit court judges saying, when we look at this question, does the president have the power to federalize the National Guard over the wishes of a state governor? The answer, generally speaking, is we defer to the president's decisions and judgment in this area.
Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield says in a statement that today's ruling, if allowed to stand, would give the president unilateral power to put Oregon soldiers on our streets with almost no justification. Amazon says its web services are back up after a major outage that knocked out popular apps and websites around the world.
Amazon says its domain name system caused the problem. An initial fix did not immediately solve all of the issues.
The outage included smart home apps like Ring and Alexa.
Many of them weren't being smart anymore. They lost their intelligence because they lost their connection to the internet.
There's no indication the outage was the result of a cyber attack.
That's our Wendy Gillette with Tech Radar's Lance Ulanoff. On day 20 of the government shutdown, a Republican short-term funding bill fails in a 50-43 vote. National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett says he thinks there could be progress soon.
We're seeing that moderate Democrats are perhaps, you know, free now to open up the economy after we've had the No Kings rally that apparently made them feel like they had to wait until after that.
The hunt continues for the priceless jewels stolen from the Louvre Museum in Paris, France over the weekend, and for the thieves who committed the crime. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer.
The French police found plenty of evidence, including the mobile ladder the thieves used to break in and their chainsaw abandoned on the sidewalk. They entered on the backside of the building, away from the main entrance with its famous pyramid, then made straight for the sumptuous Apollo's Gallery.
This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Not only does Progressive let you bundle your insurance, they also give you round-the-clock protection. Quote today at progressive.com.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
The Bucks are ready to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks kick off their season at home this Wednesday night when they take on the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, and it'll be the first time they face off against former Buck Chris Middleton, who they traded to Washington last season. Doc Rivers says they're planning a special video tribute to Middleton during the game. How come?
Because he's a Buck for life, no matter where he's at. Pat Connaughton's a Buck for life, Brooke Lopez, and so we lost three of those guys from last year. Chris will be the first one coming back. And, you know, the Milwaukee fans are phenomenal. So, you know, it's so funny. The one thing I'm not worried about is, like, usually the question, if this was a lot of other places, are you think the fans are going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck. And he's part of this community. Good as he was all on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court. Him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts above 30 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Currently 49 degrees.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. Why is it that President Trump cares more about bailing out Argentinian farmers than he does about Wisconsin soybean farmers? We'll explain the connection.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Jane says. Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show, government shutdown continues. I believe it is day 20.
Day who knows.
And Brian Stile and Gwen Moore were on WISN's Upfront over the weekend. We will talk about their appearance and their differing opinions on the government shutdown.
Yeah.
In hour number two, right after the top of the hour news at 10:06, we're going to talk about George Santos.
Yeah.
And his commutation. George Santos convicted of wire fraud. A couple other things.
First of all, it's day 20 of the shutdown.
It's day 20.
And what was George Santos? Oh, right there. They fill it out for me. 87 months for wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. I need someone to explain to me the difference between aggravated identity theft and just plain flavored identity theft.
I'm not quite sure what the enhancement.
But he's a criminal.
Yeah, he is a criminal, but it's all good.
Why?
It's all good because President Trump commuted his sentence over the weekend.
Whew.
I know, thank goodness. We'll talk about that after the 10 o'clock news. And then Kristi Noem gets two private jets for her own personal use as she's traveling around the country taking photo ops, apparently. We have no money, of course.
No
money for SNAP. We have no money for, you know, Meals on Wheels and anything, American health care or anything like that. But we got money for this.
We
had $40 billion for Argentina. But as the president says, we just don't get it.
No.
We just don't get why we should be giving Argentina $40 billion.
And not $20 billion. It was $20 billion when it started.
It was.
Now it's $40
billion. Now it's $40 billion. We'll kick that around in hour number two for the last half an hour of the show, as we always do. We try and lighten it up with a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath. Breakfast Wars.
Breakfast Wars, yeah.
Boy, an argument broke out this morning.
It was not an argument. It was a heated debate with passionate takes and points made.
Over breakfast.
And I'm right and everyone else is wrong. So that's just the point.
Sweet, savory, what are the rules when it comes to breakfast? We're going to be talking about our breakfast preferences.
Yes.
Today is chicken and waffles day. That's where this all started.
Where is your take on chicken and waffles too? Let us know in the comments. Text us 855-752-4842 or go on the app and do that. Let us know. I want to know what you think of, because chicken and waffles is a divisive.
It is.
It's a very divisive breakfast.
Ooh.
Actually, it's not even a breakfast either. It can be anytime.
It could be whenever. Yeah, yeah. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing, utterly tubular edition. Stay tuned for that. We did want to start off, though. If you were at a No Kings rally over the weekend, we would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Did you attend a No Kings rally on Saturday? In case we have forgotten,
yeah,
here's a little compilation of what the Republicans said about what was going to happen and who was going to be at the No Kings rallies on Saturday. Kevin, just for a little memory refresher, let's play that clip, please.
This No Kings rally this weekend, you know, that's the blue hair anthropomorphic, you know, experiment that's going to happen up here in Washington, D.C.
I encourage you to watch. We call it the Hate America rally that will happen Saturday. Let's see who shows up for that. I bet you see pro-Hamas supporters. I bet you see Antifa types. I bet you see the Marxist in full display, the people who don't want to stand and defend the foundational truths of this republic.
Yeah, this crazy No Kings rally this weekend, which is going to be the farthest left, the hardest core, the most unhinged in the Democratic Party, which is, you know, a big title. And, you know, No Kings equal no paychecks.
No Kings equal no paychecks. But
clearly, the Democrat Party of today is not your grandfather's Democrat Party. They care about one thing and one thing only. Appeasing the radical pro-terrorist wing of their party.
You know, the same crowd planning to protest at their I Hate America rally this weekend.
Well, one of the things that I hope Cash Patel and Pam Bondi are looking into is the funding of these groups. You know, who pays for the buses to bus a lot of these folks?
Yeah.
Who pays for the trucks that have riot gear
what?
That they hand out to the peaceful protesters?
What?
Yeah, I hope they are peaceful here, the No Kings protest, whatever. But again, it's absurd.
They hand out riot gear to protesters?
There's so much about this. Well, yeah, the frog suits and the thing. We're getting a report here of someone who was at the No Kings protest wearing a unicorn hoodie.
Yeah.
That sounds like riot gear to me, Jane. Can you explain to me why and who made this person have been?
I was out there wearing a huge unicorn. I know.
You're the hardest core of Antifa.
Well, yeah, pretty much. First of all, because someone texted in and said, can you explain what Antifa is?
Yes, of course.
Antifa stands for anti-fascist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No fascism.
Yep.
Which is the antithesis of a democratic republic.
Correct.
So Antifa is basically no to fascism.
And to be clear, straightforward, and absolutely playing with this, there is no Antifa organization.
There is no head of Antifa.
There is no organized front of Antifa.
There's no board of directors.
There is no steering committee for Antifa. There's not even a party planning committee. It's just groups of people who have this thing in common, who protest, who show up, who voice their opinion. Can things get a little rocky? Can things get violent? Can things go out of hand? Yes, they can. That is, we're not denying that can't happen when Antifa's name is brought up. But that's for a different conversation, because that's not what happened this weekend. As far as I know, from what I've seen, everything was sparkling and fun and beautiful and a great time.
It was a wonderful experience. My sister and I went to the No Kings rally in Brookfield.
Mm-hmm.
We were lined up on both sides of Blue Mound Road.
Yeah.
It was very, very positive.
Yes.
And people who love this country.
Yes.
And love our democratic institutions and would like to see democracy go for another 250 years.
Oh, that sounds like it'd be great.
Doesn't that sound like a good thing? That seems like a good thing.
And with that whole clip we played, it's just very, like, if these weren't people who are demanding to be taken seriously and being paid with our money, it'd be funny to listen to them talk about it. First of all, it's anthropomorphic, not anthropomorphic. Sorry, that's not the word. But also, it's just listening to them try to get hepped up about this one. I know they really don't care because they're winning anyways. They're in charge. They're getting our money. We're paying them all these things. And listening to them say these really ridiculous stereotypes, the blue. When I was a kid, Jane, I'm like, the blue hairs were old ladies. Now, apparently, they're Antifa.
Oh.
Yeah. Congratulations. Now you know. But it's
the
just
the senior wing of Antifa.
But saying these ridiculous things that just, I mean, there's not even passion behind their voices talking about these protests and how much they dislike it. They're just, they don't care. Meanwhile, these people take time out of their day. You said what, 7 million?
7 million people.
7 million
around the country.
Around the country stood up and said no to this. And it really, that clip really bugs me because it just, they don't care as much as they want you to believe they do. They don't care that people are protesting because they're still getting paid. They're still doing nothing. Day 20 of the shutdown.
Well, I do think they care.
You do?
I do. I think 7 million people is not something you can just go, oh, this is nobody.
Yeah.
And I think because, again, at least from people I have spoken with and people that I talk to out there, there were Republicans out there on Saturday.
Okay. So as far as like Republicans who are against what's going on?
What's going on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's the question I asked you and I asked everybody, and I don't know how or if we're going to be able to do this, is the amount of people from the inauguration this year who supported Trump to June when we had the last rally to now, how many more have moved the needle towards, like, it's not even a matter of like, I was wrong. It's a matter of like, this is not right. This is not what I voted for.
This is not what I voted for.
Even though there is an argument to be made, this is exactly what you voted for, because they weren't shy in what they were going to do. They made it very clear what they wanted to do. But that's not the point. The point, honestly, is that if you realize you've come to a place where you cannot deal with what's happening anymore and you cannot stand for it, this is what people are doing now. They stand up. And I would love to know how many people who marched this weekend a year ago were pro-Trump, who pro-MAGA.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll take you in order here. Jack from Merrimack. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Yeah, well, I was at the Antifa demonstration on the bridge in Sauk City. And Sauk City's population officially is 3,444. I'll bet 10% of Sauk City was there.
Wow. That's
amazing.
At least 300 people. It lined across the bridge, which goes all the way across the Wisconsin River, which is quite wide at that point. And it went to the east of the bridge, which was not in town, and to the west end of the bridge. The only reason why they stopped was because that's a major intersection. And there were police there. There were people going by in their cars, everybody from Mack truck and trailer combinations, down to motorcycles, beeping their horns and in support. Every once in a great while, somebody would come by and they would throw us the bird.
Yeah.
And everybody would smile and cheer and wave,
yeah.
Which I thought was really pretty funny. But this is important.
Mm-hmm.
We are Antifa. We have no charter. We have no group meetings. We have no membership list. We have no membership card.
Right.
We have no headquarters building. We aren't organized by anybody. We may be Democrats, Republicans, Independents, but we're united in this, to point out and resist fascist authoritarianism.
Yep. Yeah.
Just as our fathers and grandfathers were united, and many of them died. My dad lived through it, but he was a master sergeant in the Army in 1944.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Jack.
And I'm glad you brought that up. That's the thing, too, is that Antifa doesn't mean liberal or conservative. It doesn't mean any of that. It means people who want to fight fascists. And our fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and mothers fought against a particularly bad person back about 80 years ago. And it just blows my mind to think, what would they be thinking looking at some of these individuals now who are saying, yeah, you know what I really like? I like this idea is Trump is a king doing what he wants and really just, I don't know, just having his way with our money and our country and our people. I really wonder what they would have stood up for or if they would have marched as well.
Jim and Troy, I see you. We will take you on the other side. You can join us as well, 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane power generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking about Saturday's No King rallies. Across the country, estimates 7 million people turned out. Last week, of course, all the Republicans were saying that the people who would show up for this are all, they all hate America and they're violent terrorists. And oh my God, the humanity. And then on Saturday, as videos started coming in from some of these rallies around the country, I was seeing right-wing commenters saying, what, it's just a bunch of old people who can't dance. So which is it? Are we violent, anti-American, scary terrorists? Or are we rhythmically challenged senior citizens? I'm confused.
I think the ultimate takeaway of all of this is that no matter what it is, no matter who it is, whether it's blue hair anthropomorphics or blue-haired ladies or scary people in riot gear, I think it's just you're scary to them. You are, I mean, And I say you are because you went, Jaina.
I know.
And others did. You are the example of the dissent that they fear. What? They fear it so much. They want to believe so badly that either A, no one has a problem with it, or that anyone who does is going to keep quiet. Because what else are you going to do? Well, they're going to stand up yep. every time. And they have themselves to blame for the population of the rallies. This because you said it last week. Why were there so many people? Because they said
everybody who's going to be there hates America.
Exactly.
I mean, okay.
They made that claim.
855-752-4842. Jim from Brookfield, thank you for your patience. Jim, were you right at the rally Saturday?
Yes, I did not make the Brookfield one, Jane, and I'm sorry I missed you there, but we spent the weekend up at a friend's lake cabin. We went up Friday night near Montello, Wisconsin. It's just north of Portage, kind of near Packwaukee. It literally is off the beaten path. However, we did have some signs made up. Our friend made up some signs on her printer, and we went there at noon, right at the really the only traffic light in the area. In downtown, quote unquote, downtown Montello, right where the waterfalls are. And there were about 200 plus, probably 250 people lining that intersection up and down. I mean, it went on for blocks and it was very peaceful, obviously great weather. Mm-hmm. Most 90% of the cars, 9 out of 10 that went by, even the truckers, they were beeping, showing support. They were saying, yes, no kings. We had, you know, for the full hour I was there, maybe two or three middle fingers saying, you know, Trump rules. But that was the minority. They had signs for those who didn't have, you know, bring them. They had some ready available signs. We did pass on the riot gear. We didn't take that. But anyway, I was talking to an Iraqi war vet who had voted for Republican and voted for Trump, and he said, this is it. It's too much for me. Mm-hmm. He said, I didn't go over there into Iraq and fight for, yep. you know, for what's going on now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, appreciate it, Jim. Thank you so much. Thanks for the report on the ground in Montello. That's great. Troy from Mount Horeb on the line. Good morning, Trey. Thank you so much for sharing all those pictures. How are you doing this morning?
Yes, you saw my Antifa.
Yes, I did. You were dressed up like a cow.
Yes, I was. The pumpkin seller across the street was really upset about that. So, he said, what kind of a man would dress like that in public? And you must be gay. And
oh, jeez.
Wow, that's aggressive.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, you must be gay is not the insult anymore that you think it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah, come up with something new, dude.
You must be gay.
That's a real old insult. Yeah. You gotta up your game a little bit.
Exactly.
No, thank you so much, Troy, for all the photos. And I saw in one article, and I can't find it right now, but because someone said to me, why are you wearing a unicorn cape?
Yeah.
And I said, because I think it's important to mock. Mockery is an important weapon.
Satire is
an important weapon. Yeah. And I saw someone in this article, they called it tactical frivolity.
There you go.
I love that term, tactical frivolity.
I believe, especially in these situations, it makes the powers that be upset when you stand up. It makes them even more upset when they see you doing it together and having fun while doing it, because essentially you are making fun of them. And power doesn't like to be made fun of when we are in this kind of landscape of quote unquote democracy.
They're so sensitive.
It's like Jane, if they were like a thing that fell from the sky, once it hit the pavement, it melted.
Is that, snowflake.
Snowflake. Yeah. Exactly. Mm. Cassandra on the live stream says lots of peaceful protesters, no arrest of protesters, but over 24 anti-protesters were arrested. Weird.
Yep.
And she also goes on to say, I wish it could have gone to Appleton, but I had to work. Also, my mother-in-law went over the bridge in sock, and her head probably exploded. I'm assuming, Cassandra, your mother-in-law is a Trump supporter, if that's the case. But maybe her head exploded for democracy.
That could have been. She was so excited. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Brian Stile and Gwen Moore appeared on WISN's Upfront over the weekend talking about the government shutdown. We'll do that when we come back. Mm-hmm. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, Tactical Frivolity. Go with it.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. Police say after a tip from his family, a Cartersville, Georgia man was arrested at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport after saying he was going to shoot it up.
Put your hands behind your back, sir. Put your hands behind your back.
Police say they found a gun and ammo in his truck. An appeals court panel allows the White House to deploy National Guard troops to Portland, Oregon. CBS News contributor Jessica Levinson.
Short term, I think the recourse will be continuing to fight this in court and continuing to make their case that the Trump administration has transgressed their authority and, in fact, infringed on state sovereignty.
Amazon says its cloud service is back up after technical issues caused global access problems. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
We live in a digital world. Companies rely on the cloud. I think the takeaway here is when you have so few major cloud companies, even just when one glitches, it causes a ripple effect.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Bucks are ready to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks kick off their season at home this Wednesday night when they take on the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, and it'll be the first time they face off against former Buck Chris Middleton, who they traded to Washington last season. Doc Rivers says they're planning a special video tribute to Middleton during the game. How come?
Because he's a Buck for life, no matter where he's at. Pat Connaughton's a Buck for life, Brooke Lopez, and so we lost three of those guys from last year. Chris will be the first one coming back. And, you know, the Milwaukee fans are phenomenal. So, you know, it's so funny. The one thing I'm not worried about is, like, usually the question, if this was a lot of other places, are you think the fans are going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck, and he's part of this community. Good as he was all on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court. Him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The live part of Saturday Night Live can be a liability at times, as proven this past weekend. Sabrina Carpenter appeared on the show as the host and musical guest. The host side of Carpenter did fine, but the musical side dropped two F-bombs during her song Nobody's Son from her new album Man's Best Friend. Both F-words played live during the broadcast and on the Peacock simulcast, but after some editing, the West Coast saw the PG-13 version. Carpenter performed wearing a karate gi, but unfortunately they were not able to edit out her wardrobe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Roofman is worth a look. This well-reviewed action comedy is a true story about a man who breaks into McDonald's stores through the roof. Even after getting caught, he manages to escape prison and live in a Toys R Us for several months while making a plan to escape the country. The film stars Channing Tatum, Peter Dinklage, and Kirsten Dunst, and was a really fun watch with a really nice but not too preachy message. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts above 30 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Right now, it's 48.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll talk about the growth of wind and solar power generation across rural Wisconsin. And we'll hear from candidate for governor, Representative Francesca Hong.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today across the network, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. She's joined for the entire show by Tom Pulsiewicz. They will go over day 20 of the government shutdown. Also a recap of the No Kings. I know Maggie and Earl Ingram were downtown Milwaukee at Cathedral Square on Saturday. They'll also be talking to the founder of the Blue Anchor Project and official partner of No Kings to talk about what is next.
Great.
So that's coming up today. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 across the network. Over the weekend, Ryan Stile and Gwen Moore appeared on the Upfront program on WISN. They do a really good job there.
Oh, God.
They do.
That team.
Yep.
Is that show is fantastic.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And they do ask hard questions.
Yes, they do.
Give them a lot of credit for that. Brian Stile, Republican Brian Stile, says the administration is in a very difficult position when asked if he is behind the potential firing of up to 10,000 federal workers during the government shutdown. Stile said, quote, I don't know that there's anything unusual in a shutdown. There's been very few of them over the years. Well, it's frustrating. We're in this position to begin with. Of course, there's well over a million federal employees outside the military. I think there's opportunities for efficiencies to be created inside our federal government workforce. That said, I think this is the kicker here. The best way to do this is through a thoughtful, structured process while the government is open. One could posit that a thoughtful, structured process is completely unknown to the Trump administration.
I mean, yeah.
If you had a thoughtful, structured process, you wouldn't come in and fire a bunch of people and then realize that among the people you fired is the one that has all the passcodes, and then you have to hire them all back.
If you had a thoughtful, structured process, you would never have allowed Elon Musk into any building in the federal government.
Yep.
And just for clarification, since 1980, this is the 11th shutdown. This is the third in Donald Trump's presidency. And counting his first time around. He accounts for almost a quarter. Math is mathing, but a lot of them happened under his watch.
They did,
and I don't. And the Republicans have been in charge of everything for all but one of them. Well, actually, no. If you look at the breakdown of all the shutdowns for Donald Trump, with the exception of 2 years, the Republicans have been in charge of every branch. Period, or every. Yeah, the House, the Senate, and the President.
House.
It's one, a shutdown is embarrassing. Don't act like it's, oh, this is, you know, this is what happened. No, this is not what happens when you can't get your junk together and just move as far. And by the way, Jane, I just want to make something clear. We didn't shut down because it just couldn't work. Because the CRs continually failed after a while. They kept on pushing continuing resolutions right. to make this work. But it wasn't like we just, oh, what's happening? This had been coming. We had been counting down shutdowns for a while now.
Absolutely.
And so Brian Stiles saying that this is, it's so just, it's so repugnant because 10,000 people being fired. I want to try to find, were there 10,000 people fired during any of the other shutdowns? I don't think so.
Well, no. And Donald Trump has said during the shutdown, this is his opportunity to kill programs that Democrats like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like feeding children.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, helping the elderly,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Democrats, by the way, are demanding that subsidies for the Affordable Care Act be expanded as part of the deal to reopen the government.
Yes.
Now, from what I understand, and I might be wrong, but from what I understand, the Republicans are willing to sign a one-year extension. The Democrats say that's not enough.
No.
Because in 1 year, we're going to be back where we are right now.
Yes.
And they're still going to be talking about cutting off and doubling or tripling people's monthlies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Will Westmoreland, who was on the show last week, said his is going to go from, like, I think, a few hundred dollars to like $1,800 a month. And that's what they want. They want to just keep holding on to those tax credits for those who are on the AC. They're not asking for a single payer. They're not asking for the world. They're asking for this one thing. And you listen to Mike Johnson, he makes it sound like it's the biggest inconvenience because they're asking now when they should be asking in December. No, this is something, if we're talking about December, it's going to be too late because by the time they get back into the office in the new year, people's premiums will go up.
Right.
So take care of it now. But he's using this as the, well, Democrats just can't get on board.
Well, and I also think that why on earth would the Democrats make a deal and assume that the Republicans will be good for it?
Yeah.
When you go back to the immigration deal, mm-hmm. that was a bipartisan that had been hammered out over many, many months. A bipartisan immigration reform bill was agreed upon and passed until Donald Trump came in and said, no, I want you to kill it so I can run on it. Mm-hmm. And they did.
Yeah. Yes.
Just important reminders.
Oh, absolutely.
Just little important reminders.
And just look at the way he treats universities. Look at the way he treats news stations or network stations. Look at the way he treats anybody he bullies, gets his way, and then he wants more. This is not about a compromise. This is about giving the bully your lunch money, and then he's going to bully you tomorrow for more. They don't back down. And there's no trusting this movement. There's no trusting these people. They don't care about us. They care about, once again, the two most important things to talk about in all of this is, one, the fact that we are going to be giving billionaires more of our money. We are going to get our taxes raised over time. We'll get a cut for a little bit. That'll be nice, but
and that'll be temporary.
It'll be temporary because that's what it was the last time.
That's right.
But billionaires will get more of our money.
And those will be permanent.
And
cuts.
Those will be permanent. That's what this should be. It's always this discussion. It's about the big, beautiful, disgusting bill for billionaires that enshrined that they would make more of our money back than we would. And also on the other, the Epstein files, they want to deter all attention from those two things because next year in 2026, they're going to have to run on the fact that the government is going to be screwing people over in 2027. Cause that's when some of these huge Medicare, Medicaid cuts take place. So they're hoping we just get through it. Nobody notices. And when we do, they're going to blame the Democrats anyways.
Well, exactly. Brian Stiles said over the weekend on WISN Upfront, we know that those enhanced subsidies in the ACA that go to insurance companies are rife with waste, fraud, and abuse. At a minimum, there needs to be significant changes to that program to root out waste, fraud, and abuse.
We're still talking about this?
This is Brian Stiles. Where is your plan to replace the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known, by the way, as Obamacare,
because
they're the same thing. They have no plan.
They had a plan in 2016.
10 years ago. It was coming out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We have a great replacement plan. It's going to be better than anything. Everything will be, you get all free facelifts for everybody. they don't have a plan.
No.
Then when Donald Trump was running, he said he had concepts of a plan. Most recently, I believe it was last week, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson said they have pages and pages and pages of ideas.
I have pages and pages of jokes I've never done on stage. That's not the same thing as having an hour headlining set. This is ridiculous. This is, first of all, if there's waste, fraud, and abuse we need to talk about, then Doge failed. If Brian Stiles saying this, then Doge failed because Doge's job was to come in and find all the waste, fraud, and abuse.
Exactly.
Well, instead, they cost us hundreds of billions of dollars. They fired people they had to rehire back. We've been talking about that for months. So if Brian Stiles says there's waste, fraud, and abuse, then Doge must have just absolutely bit it, whiffed this one hard, because where are all the firings? Where are all the people on trial for fraud?
For fraud.
Because last time I checked, and I'm going to check my... fraud's a crime.
It is a crime.
So,
well, under this administration, maybe not so
you can
much.
Fraud it up and then get commuted and pardoned. That's how, I mean, it's easy. So.
Democratic Representative Gwen Moore was also on Up Front on WISN over the weekend. She scoffed at Republicans' proposal to pass a clean funding resolution, followed by a vote on Affordable Care Act subsidies. Quote, "Oh, excuse me, I had to take a sip of water to keep from choking on their word." Representative Johnson has already said he is going to do another rescissions package. They have cut money for healthcare funding, research, NIH funding, Sesame Street public broadcasting.
Yep.
They've destroyed the State Department. They promised that it's just as soon as we pass this continuing resolution, they're going to put through another rescissions package. And so this is, what do you call it, a three-card Monty game with their word. We need to get it on paper, unquote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would you trust them?
Yeah. I understand why the right, why MAGA, whatever you want to call it now at this point, would say things like, it's easy to say, pass a clean resolution. That sounds nice. It makes Americans go, well, yeah, just do that, and then you can do the thing, because that's what we do. Because there are some people still in this country, and God love them, and I'm not calling them out because I don't know their names, but they still think that, well, we can just get things, because that's what we've done in the past. We just, you know, it's been tough, and, you know, it's the government, but, you know, why not? Because they know that you think that way, and they know that they can act any way they want, and they do. And they are destroying this company.
Cassandra on the live stream says the only pages and pages I care about from the Republicans are the pages in the Epstein files. Yep. Good point there, Cassandra. You could, by the way, since they're on week 5 of their vacation, House members in particular.
I think this starts week 6.
Does it start week 6? They're off. You could contact Brian Stiles.
How so?
Go to my vote. .wi.gov, or you could just do a search for Brian Stiles contact information. I'm sure that'll come up. You could call, leave a message, be nice, be polite.
Yep. Yeah, they probably won't pick up. They don't have staff, I think, or their non-essential staff has probably gone home. I will say also, call Gwen Moore. If you like the words that Gwen Moore is saying, that's another thing too, is if your rep or a rep here in Wisconsin is doing something you enjoy, call their office and tell them. That's important for them to know as well.
Yes.
And it's true. She's right. Like, they can sit here and say these things, but it's a spit take moment where you say, oh, well, you know, we need to get rid of the waste, fraud, abuse. Oh, I thought we were doing that. I thought that was
Doge.
I thought that was an early 2025 fashion.
Terry from Wausau texting in on WXCO. The shutdown boils to thin-skinned Trump livid about the success of Obamacare and ACA. Oh, yeah. Anything good that President Obama did, he really wants to disappear because that really bothers
him.
But
you know what, though? Change one thing. Like, do what he did a while ago. Change one thing in Obamacare and make it like a little, because like, there are some ideas he has when it comes to prescription access. He's always talking about lowering prices on things.
1,500%.
Okay. Lower it on one thing. And then take credit for all of it. I'll let you have it as long as we can have the access. Like, I don't care at this point. This isn't about pride. You want to call it Trump Care? Call it whatever you want. If people can still get their health care, rock and roll.
When we return, what is going on
in Muskego?
In Muskego.
Yeah.
free speech.
Mm-mm.
We'll kick that around on the other side. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Shut it off, buddy, now I shut you down. Shut it off, buddy, now I shut you down.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on.
And save! Badgers win the shootout.
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn! Badgers finish Michigan!
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
As the year winds down, it's time for a financial tune-up. Here are some steps to consider. If you're 73 or older, you'll need to take required minimum distributions from traditional retirement accounts to avoid a 25% penalty on any amount you should have withdrawn but didn't. And if you're still working, consider ramping up your pre-tax retirement contributions. Not only will this help your future self, but it might reduce your current tax bill. Now is a good time to review your investments. Did they perform as expected? Do they still match your goals? You may need to rebalance. One more thing. If you've had major life changes like marriage, divorce, or a new baby, review the beneficiary designations on all bank and brokerage accounts. These often override what's written in your will. Taking care of these and other financial tasks now can help you start the new year on solid ground.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is an article from the Wisconsin Examiner, Mary Beth Danielson, with the byline. It is a commentary piece that says, is there freedom of speech in Muskego?
It's an interesting story.
It's a very interesting story, and we're going to include this in our show notes.
Yes.
So you can find it after the show is over. Go to civicmedia.us, look at the top, click on shows, scroll down to Matt Nair on Air, click on that, and then there's an archive of about the last 2 months worth of shows. Greg puts together all the show notes with all the articles that we talk about if you want to read further. But I highly encourage you to read this article.
Please read this one and share it.
Jim Brownlow says he remembers that on January 6th of this year, he wrote with red, white, and blue chalk on the sidewalk in front of the Muskego post office, "Remember January 6th every November."
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, police came to his door. The property manager of the post office building, someone had vandalized the sidewalk, and he had to hire a cleaning service to clean it up. It was chalk.
It's chalk.
When the officers asked Brownlow if he had chalked the sidewalk, he said he had exercised his constitutionally protected free speech. He also said chalk can be washed off with soapy water and a broom. Well, yeah,
or one rainfall and just wait.
2 weeks later, a different officer called him to tell him to come to the police station to ask Sir more questions. Brownlow said no, he was busy. The officer said he'd call next week. On February 4th, a new officer called. Brownlow said he'd already said all he had to say. Within an hour, three police officers and two squad cars showed up at his house. This is after he wrote in chalk, "Remember January 6th every November" in front of the post office. Mm-hmm. That's what he wrote.
That's it. Nothing. No cuss words.
No swearing.
Didn't paint
it. No threats.
Didn't use a non-removable spray paint. This was children's sidewalk chalk.
Three officers and two squads show up at his house. Brownlow and his wife invited them in. It was cold. One of the officers said he was charged with criminal damage to property under $1,000 and was now under arrest and had to go to the station. Brownlow said he wouldn't do that without his attorney. He also said he wouldn't resist because he's 76 and doesn't want to break anything. Officers emptied his pockets, patted him down, cuffed him, took him out the front door, drove him to the police station, cuffed to a bench. They handed him a summons to appear in court March 12th. At that time, Brownlow said he wouldn't pay guilty and pay a $900 fine, so he was given a trial date in August. 6 months later, before he could submit a motion to dismiss, this Muskego prosecutor told the judge the criminal damage charge had been dropped because it couldn't be proven in court.
Well, Jane, it's over, right?
No.
Oh.
Immediately, before Brownlow could figure out what was happening, they turned around and charged him with disorderly conduct. Same moment, same courtroom, same incident, same judge and prosecutor. He has a new court date now of November 7th.
And Jim Brownlow, you're going to read in this article, he's not an Antifa.
Oh, no.
He's not a recluse. He is a man who retired with his career as a middle school librarian. And I we don't have time to go over that, but the charges and the accusations people make against him for what he did, which once again was writing words in chalk on a sidewalk in front of a post office, all protected under the First Amendment, we thought. He has perfect responses to all of this. I really, really encourage you to go. In fact, you know what I'm going to do, Jane? I'm post this in the socials too.
Great.
Because we're talking about a lot of great things today, but I feel like that this article is a perfect example of people standing up for themselves and powers that be becoming scared and overreact. I mean, this is time and money and energy. This is not just some like, oh, we're going to slap the cuffs on you. Take it. Like, he's in court. He's talking to lawyers. This is a waste. This is waste and abuse.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Again, what was the horrific thing he wrote?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote in red, white, and blue chalk in front of the Muskego post office, "Remember January 6th every November."
That's it. Tell me.
Tell
me, the people who dislike us, because I know you're listening and watching. And by the way, as always, thank you for giving us your time. You don't have to do this. Tell us why this is such a chargeable offense, why this is so horrific, and why you don't believe this counts as freedom of speech. I need to know this, because to me, it's these little things that are happening. People are getting, and these are intimidation tactics.
Without a doubt. And as you said, this is going to cost Mr. Brownlow money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they do.
Yeah.
This is how you go after people. You might not necessarily end up with them in jail, mm-hmm. but you can bankrupt them.
And also, from a municipality standpoint, it's also costing the taxpayers.
Well, Cassandra says, I can't imagine how these cops feel. What a waste of their time.
I know. I mean,
you send three officers there in two separate squad cars. Because he's a dangerous criminal?
He's a 76-year-old man who made the comment that he didn't want to resist because he was afraid he'd break something. First of all, kudos for the joke. That was wonderful. But this is where we're at. This is where we're at. This is how it begins. And I need to know from people. Email it in. Jane says at Civic Media, tell me why what's happening to this man right now is good, justified, and makes us better as a nation.
PJ on the live stream says, this is one of those stories that shouldn't be a thing. You're absolutely right. News is coming up next. And then when we return, all the best commutations. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. An appeals court panel is now allowing the White House to federalize and deploy National Guard troops to Portland, Oregon. Alex Baumhart with the Oregon Capitol Chronicle.
The state has been prepared for this. The governor has been prepared for it. The Department of Justice has been very prepared for it. I think the message we're getting from local elected officials is basically like, no matter what happens in the courts, the president was wrong to do this. I think there's a lot of officials who are sort of trying to reinforce that they will fight for people's right to protest. The governor of Oregon, Tina Kotek, has said it is within her power to deploy Oregon Guard to protect Oregonians at the protest site.
Attorneys for the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago have asked the Supreme Court to keep in place a temporary restraining order blocking the Trump administration from deploying National Guard troops in Illinois. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has met with President Trump at the White House.